Senator Mark Pryor joins us by phone this morning. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Good to have you with us. Of course, big news today that we were just hearing about on NPR, the new pope. And is this something that is more of a concern just for Catholics, or what does it mean for international relations and politics?
Well, I think it is big news. You know, the first, I guess, in a long, long time, non-European pope. And I'm not Catholic, so I guess I don't speak personally about it. I just think that it's probably a good thing. Obviously, there's NPR says 1.2 billion Catholics around the world, and a big chunk of those is at 30 or 40%. I heard that story a little bit ago on NPR, are from Latin America. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's good. I think it's good for the church. And I'll say this. I think the pope who just left, you know, maybe people respected him and all that, but people loved John Paul II. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the Catholic Church, my guess is, would love to have another pope that the world really embraces. And I'm guessing that was part of their calculation here.
Well, I know in Washington now we're kind of playing dueling budgets. We got
we got
the Paul Ryan budget in the House, the Patty Murray budget in the Senate.
Right.
These are opposing party proposals. What are the pros and cons of these proposals?
Well, let me tell you this. I'm glad we're doing a budget. This is long overdue. The both Republicans and Democrats do not have clean hands on not doing budgets here. We had a couple years under President Bush. We've had, three or four years under President Obama. So neither side has really done well in the budget arena. I'm glad we're doing one. It sounds like we are going to get one done this year, and it's so important. It's just nuts and bolts good government. I would say on the Ryan budget, I have a lot of concerns. I'm afraid it's not good for Arkansas. I still hadn't finished my look at it, but one of the things I see in there that jumps out is it looks like he ends traditional Medicare, which basically will eventually lead to, you know, a lot of higher out-of-pocket expenses and fewer options for seniors, fewer doctors to choose from, et cetera. So I'm concerned about that. I'm also concerned that it doesn't balance the budget. It's kind of like he did the last couple of years. He lowers the tax rates on the highest income earners, but he's got to make it up somewhere. And where he's going to have to make it up is with the middle class. And so you're going to see a lot of these middle class tax bills go up. And I'm just worried about how it's structured. I'm still a Simpson-Bowles debt commission person. I think we need to do tax reform. We need to continue on our spending cuts. We've already started, but we need to continue and then do entitlement reform. And you also asked about Patty Murray's budget. It just came out, I think it was yesterday. And, you know, I don't want to be in a position where I have to vote against both, but I'm concerned about some of the things I hear in her budget as well. And, you know, it is just now starting in the Senate Budget Committee, and I guess it'd be smart to wait and see what they end up doing in the Senate Budget Committee. But I really have some concerns in what I'm hearing out of Senator Murray's budget as well.
Can you expand a little bit about what you're concerned about, what you're hearing?
Well, I'm hearing that there's going to be pretty hefty tax increases, and it may raise about $1 trillion in revenue over 10 years. We're talking about over 10 years. Then I hear that there's going to be a number of cuts, and it's going to cut about $1 trillion in spending. And I just need to look at how that is structured. I've been really concerned about singling people out. Like, just for example, Democrats, when they look at this, they tend to single out the highest income people and really load them up on taxes, just like the Republicans single them out and lower their taxes. And I just don't like that approach. I think we need to look at America as a whole, look at all classes, the upper class, the middle class, the folks that are in the lowest rung of our economy. We need to look at everybody and make sure everybody is treated fairly in the tax code and not single anyone out either for special treatment like they get a big break or special treatment like we really stick it to them on taxes.
Well, I know the House has passed a continuing resolution to keep the government running through the end of this fiscal year. What about the Senate?
Senate is working on that this week. We have that bill. We're probably going to have several votes on it today. We had a couple of votes yesterday on it. Going to try to finish it this week. I hope we do. It's important that we do. And basically what the Senate is the Senate's bill is basically to take a few, including the agriculture, a few of the bills that we passed in the Appropriations Committee last year and roll them up into kind of an omnibus, what they call an omnibus appropriation. Then those we can't, you do a continuing resolution on the other side. So this is kind of a hybrid of how we do this before. It's kind of a part. It's kind of a, I don't know, two-thirds, one-third type thing. I'm chairman of the AgriProbes. I was honored that they included the AgriProbes work in this. But, you know, it all has rough edges. I mean, none of this is perfect. When I look at the agriculture part of it, there's some things I certainly wish I could change and rewrite. If I was writing it this week, I would write it different than was written, you know, last year. But nonetheless, we're trying to do the best we can. The one thing I like about where we are in the Senate is we are really trying hard to get back to what I would call regular order. We're trying to get ourselves back on track. So we do a budget, then we do our funding bills, and we do all this like we should under the federal law. There's a law that says we're supposed to be doing all this, and I'm very much for following that process and getting it done like we should.
As long as you mentioned agriculture, let's talk about the farm bill. Farmers are still waiting for a new farm bill. What's happening with this?
Well, we don't know yet. You know, the Senate passed a farm bill last year that Senator Bozeman and I both voted against because of rice and some other things. So we're hoping what I'm hearing and we think is going to happen is it looks like the Senate Agriculture Committee will at some point, you know, fairly soon, it may be a couple of months away, but fairly soon take up another farm bill, basically use the same one they used last year, maybe change the rice provisions and a few other things, try to get the votes, get it out of the Senate and put it back in the House's lap again. I was disappointed the House didn't do it. One of the things we've talked about on this program before is agriculture really is a core strength in the U.S. economy. I mean, it is one of the things we do better than anybody else in the world, and we need good ag policy on the books, and you know, this year-to-year thing is not helping anybody. So I hope we get that going. Like I said, the Senate passed it last year. It really died on the vine in the House. So hopefully we'll be able to get it going very soon.
Well, now, let's back on the budget. The sequestration was designed to be so egregious that it would force the parties to work together. Of course, that didn't happen, and sequestration is, you know, allegedly in effect, as we understand. No deal was reached, and so the automatic cuts are kicking in. Are we feeling this in Arkansas? How is this going to affect us?
Well, we will feel it, and I'll tell you a couple of areas right now. Of course, there's been some news stories about, you know, like the U.S. Capitol, the Capitol Police have scaled back, so they've closed some of the entry doors. I don't know if y'all have seen some of those stories. I mean, you're starting to see these little ripples around. First, it'll be the government itself, and then you'll see it out in the private sector. So what you'll see in Arkansas, just in the one area of agriculture, I would say it'd be two things. One is I'm very concerned that FSA offices will close. They'll either close outright or they'll go to very restricted hours. I'm very concerned about that. I've talked to the Secretary of Agriculture about that. I want them to stay open. It's just a matter of dollars and cents. And, you know, he's going to have to make those decisions. And I'm afraid I'm going to be unhappy, and I think people in Arkansas are going to be unhappy. But it's what you call sequestration. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, that we keep hearing about is the meat inspectors in the, say, like in the poultry processing plants, for example. Those plants cannot operate unless they have a federal meat inspector on the premises when they're processing. And that means if these meat inspectors get furloughed, if they only can work, say, 4 days a week or something, that means that plant's going to have to shut down for 1 or 2 days a week. And that directly impacts the private sector. I mean, very, very directly. Literally, they'll go offline as long as they don't have that meat inspector there. So we are trying to work on that right now, trying to soften the blow of that. But that will have a huge negative ripple effect around the U.S.'s economy because you'll see the private sector having to shut down for days at a time. So these are not smart. It's not the way to do it. Like you said, it was designed to be so painful and really kind of so stupid that we would reach a budget deal, but the Congress didn't reach a budget deal.
Well, I was speaking with Congressman Rick Crawford yesterday, and he's alleging that the Obama administration is politicizing the sequester. He says that in some cases there may be less painful ways to implement these cuts, but the Obama administration is instructing agencies to avoid that in order to create a false sense of a worse impact. Are you hearing stories like this?
Well, look, I do think that President Obama has tried to ramp up the public relations on this to try to, in effect, scare people, you know, paint a negative picture. But the truth is, a lot of what he's saying is mostly true. You know, there are going to be hardships out there. It's going to be difficult. Maybe not quite as draconian as the president, you know, is saying, but you would hope that we could find ways to soften the blow. But, you know, this is going to be real. It's going to be painful. And this is one of those, again, that You know, neither side has clean hands here. This has been a little bit of a game of chicken between the White House and the Republicans, and, you know, it just is, and it is where we are. But, you know, here again, we have a our economy. If you look at our economy, we're actually turning the corner. Things are getting a lot better. There's good news in housing starts. There's good news in banking. There's good news really all the way around, you know, for the most part. Let's not have Congress mess this up. Let's not have the White House mess this up. Let's work together, and let's, you know, move forward here and not do things that will actually harm the U.S. economy.
Well, what are the sequester cuts going to mean for the military? A lot of people are concerned about cuts to things like military tuition benefits.
Well, they definitely are going to have a negative impact on the military. And, you know, I know that the Secretary of Defense has said, give me some flexibility on this. And I think some people are willing to and want to. But the problem is, it's a zero-sum game. The cuts will be made. It's just a matter of where and how you prioritize them. It's probably better that he be able to manage that, but it's going to be painful. So you're right. Military families could get hurt. I'll tell you who's really getting hurt directly right now is the contractors. The military has thousands and thousands of contractors. I mean, all kinds of things you don't even think about. Well, those are going to be hurt. Now, one problem is that in a lot of these contracts, the government has to pay penalties to the contractor if we break the contract. So, unfortunately, we're going to waste millions, probably hundreds of millions of dollars in getting out of these contracts. Again, this is not the way to do it. This is not an efficient way to do it. You know, it's time for people in Washington to turn off the rhetoric and turn off the games and really get back to governing and try to get this thing fixed.
I understand you're working on a project right now to send care packages to the Arkansas troops that are in Afghanistan, and you're encouraging people to help you with that.
I sure am. We're going to send out a bunch of care packages next Friday, March 22nd, to the 139th over in Afghanistan. And folks can go to my website if they want to download a postcard. It's at prior.senate.gov. Real easy. It's a small way to show our gratitude, but it'll be meaningful for folks. And we're hoping that we could just get many, many, many Arkansans to do this. So it's for the 39th and the 1039th engineering company as well. So, you know, this is a good way for us to remind our friends, our neighbors, our folks we go to church with, et cetera, that we are thinking about them as they're in Afghanistan, and tell them how much we appreciate them for the service.
All right, prior.senate.gov. You can download a postcard, fill it out, write a message, and send it back, and you'll
get it
to them. That'd be great.
Okay. Yep, that's right.
All right. You are in a bipartisan group that's introduced an energy bill. Tell us about this.
Well, I always am looking for ways to do, you know, bipartisan efforts, and I have, a bipartisan, what we call quadrennial energy review. And what that means is every 4 years, the whole federal government should really look at our energy strengths, our weaknesses, look at our energy policy, look at things like grant programs, look at research, look at all that, and come up with a comprehensive snapshot that will help us have a good, positive strategy for energy as we go forward. We have a lot of well-intentioned bills and efforts up here in Washington, but it's not coordinated, and there's no one comprehensive strategy. So this is a building block to try to do that.
Another thing that piece of legislation you're working on, you called on the FCC to reform a program called Lifeline. Tell us what this is.
Lifeline is the old program. This started years and years ago. I mean, a couple of decades ago, maybe, where rural and poor folks sometimes can't afford phone service just because of the way it works. This is phones in your home. And so what the federal government did years ago is they came up with a way to subsidize your local phone. And basically they cut a check directly to the phone company. Well, back during the Bush administration, they expanded that to cell phones. And it makes sense. I mean, we understand that. So they expanded to cell phones. The problem is that a few, not all, but a few of these cell phone companies are really abusing that. When the Bush administration put it in place, they really didn't put the proper safeguards and protections around it. So what we're asking the FCC to do is reform the program. This is a good way to save federal taxpayer dollars. You might be able to, we don't know exactly, but you might be able to save something like $600 million a year just by doing this. just by making sure that these companies aren't ripping off the government. So anyway, this has been a problem in Arkansas. We've seen it in Arkansas. I was talking to some folks down in South Arkansas a couple of months ago. It's really been a problem because one of these phone companies is down there, and they're just giving away these phones. Of course, they don't care because when they give away the phone, they get federal money to do it. And the people take a free phone. Sure, I'll take a free phone. So it's a program that needs to be reformed, and we're trying to get the FCC to help us reform it.
Well, just got about a minute left. The issues, of course, facing us now, we've been talking about the budget issue. We've got the government shutdown deadline coming out. What are our hopes of getting things accomplished over the next few months?
Well, I'm optimistic. I think that we will get things back on track. The Senate actually changed its rules, some on the filibuster. It's kind of hard to tell because we had some kind of what I'd call leftover filibusters from last year, Secretary of Defense, CIA, and D.C. Circuit Court. But I think things are going to get back on track in the Senate. And my sense is that people really want to get things done. They want to work together, at least more so than they have in the past. And I see that the president's reaching out for the first time to Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate. I think that's positive. So, you know, hopefully we'll get some good momentum here. Hopefully the economy will pick up. And, you know, I just want to be optimistic about the future. And I'll work hard every day to try to work with others here to, if best I can, help solve the problems of the country.
Senator Mark Pryor, thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Thank you very much.